imagining what other people were thinking or saying about me. I did it all the time, even though I knew no good would come out of it. It was like picking a cuticle, scratching and nipping at it until it started bleeding. I was doing that now, picturing everyone in the kitchen, wondering what they were saying or thinking. Even the ones who didn't know my name. They'd just think of me as that prissy chick who badmouthed sweet Katie. Someone would ask who I was and they'd say, "Oh, that's Austin's sister." And then they'd remember me as the girl who went around picking up empty bottles and pizza boxes as if she was working the night shift at Fridays. Ugh. I hated the way my brain worked. I tried to tell myself that I didn't do anything too horrible, that people would understand I was mostly joking. I never would have talked like that had I known she was there, even if what I said was true. I was grasping now. Wasn't it funny how people always demanded the truth, yet mostly couldn't handle it when it came along? In all fairness, I was the same way, demanding the truth yet holding on to the lies. They came in handy when you wanted to guard yourself against the truth. Lies, that is. I paused in front of my door. I didn't really think anyone would be inside. This get-together was way calmer than most of the parties Austin had thrown in the past, before he went to stay with our uncle. And I had to admit that Austin seemed a little different now, more stable. Or maybe I just wanted him to have calmed down and thinking this way protected me from seeing the truth. I knocked, then waited a moment before opening the door into what turned out to be an empty room. I stood for a moment before entering, just taking everything in, even the smell. God, the air was like nostalgia, like the scent of my former life. I had been trying so hard to start a new chapter, turn a new page, whatever it was people did when they tried to move on and stand on their own 2 feet. I stood there looking at my old bedroom while thinking of my new bedroom. Such a stark difference. It was the same as it ever was. The same purple bedspread with little white flowers all over it. The same matching curtains with a burn mark on the corner from my one day as a smoker. I got grounded for that. My parents didn't notice the burnt curtain, lucky for me, but they had caught the cigarette smoke as it wafted down the hallway. After that, I was forbidden to hang out with Nina Hobbs, the only girl in my grade who was allowed to shave her legs, and who had made me want to smoke like she did. My dresser was cluttered with the usual teenage girl stuff, old tubes of glittery lip gloss that had been expired for years, bundles of headbands and hair elastics, notes from my best friend Sammy, gel pens in every conceivable color. Everything had a memory attached, some more than one. I couldn't bring myself to toss a thing. Not the headbands I had worn for years through multiple hair colors and multiple bad haircuts. Not even the sticky lip gloss that my mom snuck me when my dad said I couldn't wear makeup until high school. I picked them up now and rolled them around in my hand. They had names like Berry Beautiful, Pucker Pink, and Sweeter Than Sweet. Funny though, once you got them on your lips, they all had pretty much the same rosy color, the same sugary and sticky shine that always caught a hold of my hair. It wasn't that long ago I had moved into my new place, but this room already seemed like a time capsule. I hadn't slept there since the day I moved out. Come to think of it, I hadn't even been in there. Sometimes it felt like I had moved out years ago. Other times it felt like days. I wiped my finger in the dust on my dresser. Estelle made sure every room in the house was clean, except this one. What about Austin's room? I wondered. Did she do her Martha Stewart thing in there? Probably. She had different rules for males and females. I realized that I hadn't changed any of the furniture since seventh grade or so. I remembered sitting in that purple beanbag chair when Josh, the guy who thought it was a good idea to give me cornbread for a birthday gift, broke up with me. His mom had told him that he needed to work on his grades, so if he wanted to pursue his supposed football career, he needed to keep his head clear and away from girls. I was fool enough to believe him. But he started dating one of the popular girls the very next day. Word around school was that he had dumped me for her. Seventh grade on really did a great job of progressing my insecurities. That beanbag chair was the indoor equivalent of the porch swing, full of drama and dreamy memories. I bet there were a lot of teenage tears in that purple fabric. My nightstand was stacked high with books. my econ textbook from my senior year of high school, and the hardcover of You by Carolyn Knepps were collecting dust. I had brought another copy of You when I realized I'd left my copy at my dad's and didn't want to go back for a few days. Dad and Estelle hadn't been married very long then, and I hated being around the newlyweds. I left every chance I got. That made two copies, three if you counted the audio. I bought that to hear the characters come to life in a voice other than my own. It was one of my favorite books, and I always wanted to keep a copy at both houses. It was one of the few stories that my dad and I both loved. I reached for it and cracked open the spine. I could use the distraction. You walk into the bookstore, and you keep your hand on the door to make sure it doesn't slam. You smile, embarrassed to be a nice girl, and your nails are bare and your V-neck sweater is beige, and it's impossible to know if you're wearing a bra, but I don't think that... When I heard the knock on the door, I nearly jumped out of my skin. Shit.
Karina?
What? I sounded angry, like you do when you're scared.
Karina, are you all right?
It was Kale.
Can I come in?
Come in, I said. I nodded too, though he likely couldn't see me through the crack in the door. He entered slowly and once inside, gently closed the door. The little click sounded so loud, so definite.
You okay?
He asked as he walked toward me, stopping a few feet away from the bed. I sighed. Yeah, I said, shrugging, closing my book.
So do you always read at parties?
When he said that, it reminded me of a book I'd read last year. I had a love-hate relationship with those books, but was currently waiting for the next one in the series, so I was in love at the moment. I don't know. I got overwhelmed. That girl. I raised my hand in the air holding the book. She heard me say that stuff, and now Austin's being a dick, and she probably feels like shit. Kale nodded his head just a little.
You didn't know she was going to walk up.
Still.
Try not to worry about it. I know you're going to beat yourself up over it. That's just who you are.
You know what? Now he was the one who looked caught. It was clear that he hadn't meant to say what he had. Or maybe he'd meant to word it differently. His mouth hung open a little. What do you mean, that's just who I am? I accused. He better not have meant what I thought he did. He took a breath.
I just meant that I know you worry about a lot, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself, a lot of blame.
I wanted to stand up, to tell him to get the hell out of my room. But I sat there, holding tight to my book, keeping my legs crossed underneath me. And you know that how? I asked, not really wanting to know what he was going to say. I had already become this girl to him, the one he needed to check in on, maybe take care of. I despised the idea of that. No way was that going to be me. No way was that me.
Come on,
he pressed me. He no longer looked unsure about what he'd said or would say. He looked annoyed. You're acting like you know me. You've been around for what, a week? And half of that time you were MIA.
So it did bother you when I didn't come back?
He asked. Why was he talking so much all of a sudden? And how could I get him to stop? That doesn't matter. My point is that you don't know me, so don't say that I'm doing something or being a victim or whatever. My voice sounded screechy and dramatic.
That's not what I'm doing.
He sighed, rubbing his cheeks with both palms.
And I sure as hell didn't say anything about you being a victim.
You said you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Never mind, he said, defeated. Forget I said anything.
I felt so angry, so embarrassed and upset. I didn't know I was directing all my feelings toward Kale. He came up to my room, I assumed, to check on me at the very least. That was a nice thing to do. I'm sorry, I said. I'm just frustrated and I'm taking it out on you. I guess this fits since I'm... I hooked my fingers into air quotes. Always pissed.
I don't think you should be too hard on yourself. People do shitty things. It's what we're made for,
he told me. He was trying to change the subject and I was grateful, because I felt like crap. Any sort of buzz that I was feeling was basically gone at that point. But Kale still looked different than he had before tonight, even without my vodka glasses. Humans are made to do shitty things. That's depressing, I told him. But I kind of liked the way it sounded, cynical as it was. He sat down next to me on my bed, and the metal frame creaked. He was too big for my bed. He looked like a grown man in a dollhouse. I felt like he was going to lecture me about something, maybe ask if I did my homework. His knowing eyes were focused on me, and in a rare occurrence, he didn't look away or stare at the floor. "That's life," he said. His eyes were still on me. "Life is depressing."
"Every life I've come across," he replied.
I couldn't disagree with him, though it made everything feel so heavy. "Yeah, I guess you're right." I was the first to look away.
"You're the one who told me that when the stars burn out, the good in the world dies."
He chuckled softly.
"That's the most depressing thing I've heard, and I've seen and heard a lot."
He drew out the end of the word. I laughed at that and looked into his eyes. He was a good head taller than me sitting down, and his black jeans and dark skin looked so nice against each other. Kale's hands moved to his leg and my tummy flipped, thinking that they'd move to me next, that he was going to touch me. But instead, he rubbed at the top of his leg. "What's wrong with your leg?" I asked him. For all the voices downstairs, I couldn't hear anything except the slowing of Kale's breathing and the sound of the air conditioner vent blowing from the ceiling.
"It's," he started to say.
I watched the words hesitate on their way out.
"It hurts sometimes. It's not a big deal."
"Can I ask about it?" I asked while asking. I remembered his first massage and how he kept his pants on the entire time, the way I thought I saw him limping but couldn't be sure. "You don't have to tell me. I could just... maybe I could help, you know," I told him. He closed his eyes and didn't say anything as the seconds passed. "You don't..." I started to tell him I was sorry for asking in the first place, but he leaned down and grabbed the bottom of his jeans and started to roll up the fabric. It was such an intense moment, the air so still between us. And then the silence was broken by the ringing of a cell phone. Kale's cell phone. I jumped from the suddenness of it. Kale let go of his pants and stood up, pulling the phone from his pocket. His face changed as he stared at the screen, silencing the ringer. My heart was racing, beating inside of me. "Everything okay?" I said. His handsome face was distorted into a scowl as he looked at the number. He ignored the call. I thought a text popped up, but I couldn't be sure.
"Yeah,"
he said. I didn't believe him. He shoved the phone into his pocket and looked at me. My eyes went immediately to his right leg and he stepped back. Then he scanned the room like he was looking for something he couldn't see.
I have to go,"
he stammered. He moved so quickly, just like a soldier, and he opened my door before I could stop him. His name was stuck in my throat as he turned around to look at me, as if to say something. Our eyes locked for half a second before he seemed to change his mind and turned away from me. I didn't know what to think about what had just happened. We had been so close. I had opened up to him and he was opening up to me, and then he was gone. I was so overwhelmed with everything that I didn't even understand why I burst into tears the moment he disappeared from view. Chapter 48. I woke up with a headache like I'd never had before. My mouth was the inside of a hamster's cage, and my hands felt too big for my body. Even my hair hurt. I rolled over and buried my face in my pillow so that I wouldn't have to open my eyes. I rummaged through the bedding to find my phone. When had I climbed into bed and under the covers? And I felt the cool glass screen against my fingertips. Slowly, I turned over. Even more slowly, I opened my eyes. 2 missed calls and a, "Where are you?" text from Austin. But of course, the person I was thinking of was Kale. Great. It was bad enough that he was the last person I thought of before I fell asleep. Did he have to be the first person I thought of when I woke up? I could picture him sitting there on the bed next to me. I could almost feel the impression his body made on the bed, and I could see his face as he walked out the door, leaving me behind. I had to do something about this situation. I had to keep away from this guy. Where did he get all thinking that I would be there for him whenever he felt like showing up? Who did he think he was with this on-again, off-again bullshit? This guy was playing with me, with his, "So it did bother you when I didn't come back" line. Of course it bothered me, Kale, just like you knew it would. Last night he had opened up, let down his guard and let me inside. He talked, he listened, he laughed. And the way he started to roll up his jeans, we were getting so close. And then he turned back into the stranger Ailidi's husband happened to know. I never wanted to see him again. I needed to see him. I didn't want to know where he went last night. I needed to know. I should never have let him stay over that night Ailidi brought him home. I should never have brought him to my dad's for dinner. And I sure as hell should never have brought him to this party. I didn't like all this anger and regret. How dare he make me feel this way? Lesson learned. Remind yourself about that, Karina, as you go about your day. Shit. My day. I had to work. I did a quick phone check for the time. It was 9, and I had to be at work at 10. It didn't matter that I felt like hell. No way could I get my shift covered on such short notice. Anyway, I needed the hours to pay that last cable bill, so I'd just have to suck it up. I was used to that. At least I didn't have anyone scheduled until after lunch. I'd be the one taking walk-ins. That wouldn't be so bad, though, because most new clients didn't talk much at all during their first treatment. That was something, at least. Rolling out of bed was the hard part. The first hard part, that was. After I did that, and it was more belly flop than roll, I shimmied into my pants, then my t-shirt. I pulled one of my vintage hair elastics off my dresser and stuck my hair in a ponytail, replaying the events of last night over and over in my head. I didn't want to admit it, but I was starting to feel that addictive pull. Addicted. There was no other word for it. His beautiful face, his strong body, his confident voice. I loved the way he didn't bother with small talk, as if he knew instinctively what was important. I could tell that the other guys looked up to him. But what else was going on? What was it that made him go from being just another guy at a party with a beer to a soldier, hyper-vigilant and on guard? What had Mendoza been trying to tell me about his boy? Kale's voice in my head was drowned out by the sound of my brother's snores as I passed his room. I was glad he was asleep. I didn't want to talk to him, or anyone else for that matter. Just a quick pee and I'd... Oh, crap. Oh, I'm so sorry. I had no idea anyone was in here. I edged my way out of the bathroom, trying to avert my eyes. Did that just happen? I backed out into the hallway, not knowing if I should leave or if I should wait until she came out. I was trying to figure out what the etiquette was in a situation like that when the bathroom door opened and Katie appeared. You sure know how to make an entrance, don't you? She had a toothbrush in her hand and her hair was brushed neatly to rest just above her shoulders. Hey, hi. As if this wasn't awkward as hell. Hey, I'm sorry. This is getting to be a habit with us. Me surprising you, you apologizing to me. She laughed then. I guess it was kind of funny. Look, it's okay, she said. Really, no harm done. I was caught off guard last night. By what you said, I mean.
Yeah, about that.
No, it's okay, really. Well, the stuff about me still being in high school wasn't cool at all, but that other stuff, about your brother, you didn't tell me anything I didn't already know.
Wait, you mean?
I'm not an idiot, Karina. I've heard a lot about your brother. But just like you, I don't listen to everything I hear.
The look on her face was a knowing one. Her blue eyes honed in on me. She certainly didn't seem like a high school girl now. I didn't know if it was the hangover or the shock of walking in on her like that. But what the fuck?
And that means? Maybe another time, okay? It was a late night.
She paused to make an exaggerated stretch, causing the oversized t-shirt she was wearing to ride up high enough to show me that Nurse Katie was overdue for a bikini wax.
I'm tired and I really want to get back to bed. Besides, she added, it's chilly in here.
And with that, she turned on her heels and went back to join my brother. Chapter 49. Ailidi wasn't there when I got home. I couldn't remember if she had to work or not. I barely remembered that I had to work, and I didn't pay attention to whether or not her car was in the driveway. I took a quick shower, but I still felt like death when I got out. Brian used to keep a hangover kit in his dorm. Extra strength Tylenol for a headache, Benadryl for puffiness, Pedialyte to replace essential minerals, and Alka-Seltzer to soothe the stomach. He was like a depraved Boy Scout, always prepared. What I wouldn't give for a couple of Tylenol now. Leave the ex-boyfriend, take the meds. That sounded like a good plan. I searched the entire house, but came up empty-handed. I even fumbled through the drawer with the packets of soy sauce and chopsticks, just in case I'd find one of those little individual packets of Tylenol or Advil in there. I wouldn't even have cared if it was expired. No pills of any kind. But I did find an old fortune cookie, which I cracked open. You don't need strength to let go. All you need is understanding. Actually, Fortune Cookie Company, I really need some aspirin. I made a cup of coffee and sat at my kitchen table, staring into space. My mom, my dad, Austin, Kale. Every stressor in my life seemed to be weighing on me, hard. Tapping me on the shoulder, pulling the muscles in my back. I wanted to bang my head against the wall, to cry or scream and shout. But I had to leave for work, and as everyone kept reminding me, I was the responsible one. Just do the next thing, I told myself. Put one foot in front of the other and do what needs doing. That's how you'll get through the day. With that little pep talk in mind, I made my way out of the house, through the alley to the parlor. The doors were unlocked when I got there, the open sign bright in the window. Molly was behind the desk, checking in a middle-aged man and a woman for a couple's massage. I was glad I came in as they were being escorted to the room, so that I didn't have to take them. She looked really excited about it. He looked annoyed, as if his wife had dragged him there to work on their relationship or something. You could always tell. That's why couples massages were my least favorite thing. I'd rather rub a client's thick, calloused heels, and I really hated doing that.
Good morning, sweetie, Molly said when she returned. Or not so much, she asked, her eyes searching my face. She could always see right through me.
Hangover, I offered. I thought it was best to admit at least half of my problem. She took in my wet hair, puffy face, and bleary eyes. Was all she managed. It would be a long day if Molly, of all people, was getting on my nerves. Is Aility here? I asked. I couldn't see the calendar from where we were standing.
Yes, and on time, Molly told me, nodding her head in approval, and maybe making a little dig at me.
But for what, I couldn't tell. My first client was at one.
She's not late that... Your client is here, Molly said, looking toward the door.
I don't have a client until...
Not true, she said. Here, look at the schedule.
She pointed to the name scribbled on the little blue line that said 10 o'clock. Did someone move their appointment? I can't read this, I said to Molly. The bell dinged behind me, and Molly turned to address the customer in her sweetest voice.
Mikhail, for an hour deep tissue at 10, that you?
I nearly choked on the air when I turned around and saw Kale. Sure enough, there he was wearing a gray t-shirt and joggers. They were black, tight on his legs, with a big Nike swoosh on the thigh. He looked exhausted or hungover like I was. Kale, I said, like I had to tell myself that he was actually standing there.
Hey,
he replied. Hey? Was he here to talk to me? Or to get a massage? Both? It was all too much. He waited patiently while I collected myself and checked his name off of the schedule. I stared at Molly until she walked away, reluctantly, a smirk imprinted on her face. I looked at Kale and felt the tape of the last 24 hours unwind. I didn't like him, I told myself. That addiction stuff was nonsense. It was just that it had been a while since I'd been in close contact with the male species, so of course he was getting inside my head. I was lonely, that was all. Everybody got lonely. It was only natural. Right this way. My voice was cool, professional. He wasn't the only one who could be aloof. I pulled the curtain back to enter my room, and as I did, Aility popped up around the corner, a little French jack-in-the-box.
Hello,
she said, her voice high and cheery. She scared the hell out of me, and I jumped away from Kale.
I left before you woke up, I had...
She stopped talking when she saw who was with me.
Kale, hello.
She double-kissed his cheeks, and I moved out of their way. In fact, I leaned my back against the wall. An appropriate metaphor, I thought.
Aility, how's it going?
They talked for a moment, good-natured, casual conversation. But when he put his hands on her elbows, a friendly and completely appropriate gesture, I felt a wave of anger swell. That's when I knew I had completely lost my mind.
I'm really hungry all the time. I can't seem to gobble down enough food.
She laughed as she said this. Kale smiled at her, and I found myself glad he didn't laugh with her. Yep, mind was lost. She looked at me, and I avoided her eyes. She had to be wondering what was going on. How could I tell her if I didn't know myself?
Well, I'll see you around,
Aelity said, and made her way back to Molly. I walked into the room without even looking at Kale. I was usually much politer to clients. I would never turn my back on them. But I did now. Let him follow behind me. Let him feel what it's like to see someone's back disappear through a door. Chapter 50. The room was dark, so I lit a few candles. It was one of those small tasks that helped me ease into the day, almost a ritual. Molly had a couple of those Bic automatic lighters in each room, but I preferred matches. I loved the scratch as you ran the match head over the striking surface, the tiny little explosion that brought the flame to life. So much better than the nervous click, click, click of those lighters. I was aware of Kale, standing just inside the doorway. He might have been evaluating his escape route, or maybe even considering a quick getaway. Who knew? I ignored him as I lit the candles. Almond from Bath and Body Works. I'll come back in a couple of minutes, give you some time to undress, I said. But he pulled his shirt off as I made to leave, so I didn't get a chance. I exhaled a small harumph to express my displeasure, then turned around to face the wall. I could sense the tight movements of his shoulders as he lifted his shirt over his head. I could have gone out.
I just need to take my shoes and shirt off, he told me.
He was still a client, regardless of whatever had or hadn't happened between us, regardless of what I felt, as if I knew what that was. I didn't want to even come close to being inappropriate with him in my workplace. Outside this building, I might have slapped his face, but here? Well, my job was to heal, not hurt. I stared at my dark purple wall and tried to imagine it navy. I was still undecided on what color to paint it, but Molly had given me her approval yesterday, so that was a win for this crazy week. The clean, masculine aroma of the candle was working its way through the room, and I felt my breathing slow. I stared into the flame until I heard the table creak and the soft pull of the sheet. I counted to 10 once he stopped moving. Same pressure as before? I asked. He was lying there on the table face up, his stomach exposed. The thin blanket and sheet were pulled up only to his hips. He nodded. Great. Back to this. His eyes were open, following me around the room. Usually I start with the back, which means that the client lies on his stomach, I told him.
The client? He said. Right, that's me.
Kale turned over and rested his head in the face cradle. I grabbed a hot towel from the warming cabinet and tried to think about him as simply my 10 a.m. appointment. An impossibility, really. Was he playing some kind of game with me? It sure felt like it. I placed a hot towel on his back. The moist heat would help relax his muscles and make the massage more effective. I took another hot towel and wiped his arms and feet. In silence, I focused on his soft skin, taking in his scent. Cedar and campfire, I think, and definitely bar soap. Kale was not the body wash type. I started to pump peppermint oil into my open palm, but stopped when I remembered he had refused it on his first session, that curt no being one of the first of his monosyllables. I rubbed my hands together to warm them, although I would have loved to surprise him with icy fingers on his warm skin. A little bit of payback for the merry-go-round he's got me on. I was getting myself worked up again. In fact, I was about 2 minutes away from telling him to get off the table and get the hell out, or at least explain what his deal was. I was already regretting opening up to him. All that stuff he knew about my mom, my dad, about me. I turned the music up on my phone. Thanks. Let him tell Kale that I was tired of his waiting game. I made sure that the music was loud enough for him to hear the words, but not loud enough to disturb any other patrons. See, still professional. Kale's sweatpants were faded and the hem at the bottom was almost purple from being washed so many times. Black cotton can do that, turn the color eggplant. Great. Now I was back to last night, to the party, my bedroom, my purple bedspread. Again, the flash of us alone together. Kale dropping his emotional armor, leaving those invisible bodyguards outside. I looked around the room and saw the purple glow of everything. Why was I surrounded by purple? In that moment, I felt fortunate to have 7 brains in my head,
all thinking different things at the exact same time. It was my own little streaming service, and thank goodness I could switch between channels so that the next 55 minutes wouldn't be awkward for either of us. Comedy, drama, home improvement, take your pick, Karina. It was good for me to think about other things while I rubbed the balls of his feet, while I ran my palms up his calves. Tylenol. I'd drop by the drugstore after work and pick up some Tylenol. What else did I need? Shampoo? I tried to push the leg of his pants up a little, but they were tight at the bottom. They wouldn't give. He was pulling at his pants and his phone rang, but he didn't answer. I couldn't bring myself to be nosy enough to ask who it was. I was about to tell him that most clients prefer to turn off their phones, that they find the interruptions jarring. But who was I kidding? Kale wasn't like most clients. I moved up the back of his thigh, gliding my hands along his bare back. I tried to think of what movie I'd watch when I flopped down on the couch after work, but it was hard to think of anything other than the muscles along his shoulders, so prominent under his soft, dark skin. Right under his shoulder blade, there was a spot that had to be giving him some kind of pain when I pressed into it. "Does this hurt?" I asked him.
"Yes,"
he replied. "Like all the time or right now?"
"Aren't those the same thing?"
"No." I pushed the side of my thumbs into his muscle.
"Oh yeah, that hurts all the time."
"You didn't say anything before." I didn't remember feeling it, but there was no way it got like that in a week.
"Why would I?"
he asked. I wished I could see his eyes as he spoke. "Because it hurts?" I pressed harder than normal and he groaned. The tissues separated under the pressure of my touch. "Because I asked you?"
"Everything hurts," he said. "All my body. All the time."
Chapter 51. I loved my job, but I didn't love the stereotypes. I had worked hard to become a massage therapist, taking classes in anatomy, bodywork, physiology, even psychology and ethical business methods. I practiced countless hours, passed my massage and bodywork exam, got my license. All that, and I still had to endure those classy jokes about happy endings. I remember the first time someone implied that I was a sex worker in scrubs. He got a gleam in his eye when I told him that I worked in a massage parlor. I had been sitting in a coffee shop, enjoying a latte and a book when this older guy sat next to me and asked me what I was reading. We chatted for a bit. He seemed nice enough. Until, that is, the conversation came around to what each of us did for a living. He told me that he was a lawyer at this prestigious law firm. I could tell that he was trying to impress me by name-dropping some big clients and talking about billable hours. I told him that I was a newly qualified massage therapist and that I was really happy to be starting my career. I was going on about health and wellness, about the whole mind-body connection, and how massage therapy was a growing industry when he raised his eyebrows, leaned in close to me and said,
"Oh, you're a massage therapist."
His meaning was clear and so were his intentions. Even outside of creeps with gross offerings, I got the usual jokes from friends and family. Those may be worse. Most clients were respectful and seemed to understand that very few sex workers hid under the title of massage therapist. There had been a recent bust of a little parlor on the other side of town, and that shook us up a bit. I had applied for a job there before Molly hired me, and I got the creeps just thinking about it. It also made me appreciate Molly even more, if that was possible, the way she ran a tight ship, looking out for our best interests. I loved my job, being able to relieve pain and soothe people using my hands, healing people, offering them relief, both mental and physical. My career was my passion, and I hated that the industry I loved so much took such a hit because of just a few. I wouldn't ever be one of those people who took risks, who stepped over the line of what was appropriate, whether for money or desire. So I tried hard to focus on the treatment I was providing, without so much as a gratuitous glance at Kale's body, no matter how hard it was. He was on his back now, arms at his side. I took a deep breath. I wouldn't look at his bare skin. I had never thought about a client in this way before, and I wasn't going to start. Well, it had already started, but it wasn't going to continue. I tried to distract myself with physiology by naming all the chest muscles. Pectoralis major, pectoralis minor, serratus anterior. I remember learning in class that women are biologically wired to prefer men who have strong chests and shoulders. something about testosterone levels. So really, I wasn't being inappropriate. It was biology.
I like this music.
Kale's voice cut through the dark, surprising me. Thanks, I said. I wanted to tell him that Kings of Leon were one of my favorite bands of all time, and that their first album was the closest thing to a masterpiece my ears had ever heard. But I was done opening up to him. When I finished working on the top of his thigh over his pants, I moved up to the top of the table where his head rested. My fingertips trickled down his scalp, pressing firmly against the soft tissue of his neck. His eyes, which had been closed when I worked on his legs, opened slowly. Did he see me staring at his strong features, at the deep curve of his lips? I refused to be the one to break the ice today. He left me so suddenly last night, without warning or any explanation whatsoever. He had the nerve to prance in here and act like nothing had happened? Maybe that was why I was so upset, because nothing had happened. I skated my fingers down his chest, circling around the span of him. The way his tight muscles felt breaking up under my fingertips, I could almost feel the tension releasing from his pores.
You're quiet today, Kale said.
My hand stopped moving. You haven't said anything, I countered.
I just said I like the music.
I rolled my eyes, pursing my lips together.
You want to say something, I can tell.
Oh, you can tell, I said. Right, I forgot, you know me so well. Sarcasm is a girl's best friend. Why are you even here?
You knew I was coming.
You told me you wanted a massage. You didn't say when. You didn't give me a time, I explained. Or anything. He was quiet for a few beats of the song. Yeah, thought so, I said under my breath. Kale's hand shot up from under the blanket, his fingers wrapping around my wrist. His eyes were deep pools, and I couldn't look away from them. I didn't move an inch. Everything stopped, even my breath. Intense didn't begin to cover it.
Why don't you just tell me what's going on inside that head of yours, Karina?
I didn't think before I spoke. There's too much. I stood at his side, my hips aligned with his chest. Too. I couldn't finish. His fingers were so warm, pressed against my pulse. It had to be pounding under his fingerprint.
Just let go,
he told me in a barely a whisper. His pupils were so black in the candlelight, probing me, searching for my words. My insecurities told me he was searching for more, searching for a weak spot. So you can leave? I bit at him. His eyes closed, thick lashes dusting over his cheeks. I couldn't believe there was a time when I saw him and didn't see what he actually looked like.
I deserve that, he said.
He still hadn't let go of my hand.
I deserve that and more.
He opened his eyes.
So give it to me.
I sighed, pulling my hand away. He gripped a little tighter, but I still pulled away. What are we doing? I asked him. I had so many things to say, so many things to ask, but my thoughts were tripping over my words. I didn't have a clue of what he had locked away in that head of his. I didn't know where to begin.
We're talking. Well, you were about to.
I stepped away from the table and he sat up, turning to me. I'm serious, why did you come here? He stared at me. No words, just that look. Now you're back to this. I spoke loud enough so he could hear me over the music, but not so loud that anyone outside of the room could hear.
Look.
He straightened his back. His hand lifted up like he wanted to reach for mine, but dropped it before I could decide what I would have done.
I'm sorry that I left last night. My friend had something come up and I had to go. I shouldn't have just left like that, but I...
He spoke like the words were being ripped from him.
I can't, but I had to be there.
If your friend needed you, why wouldn't you just say that? I would have understood. His brow raised.
I don't know, I just panicked, I guess.
He looked down at his hands.
I'm not the best at this.
Kale stumbled over his words. Neither am I. I was pacing around the small room now, a vain attempt to get away from him. And I'm not asking if we're dating or whatever. I just don't have the space for this type of thing in my life right now, I rambled. You come and you go, and I've had enough of that in my entire life. I don't need another second of it.
I wasn't trying to come and go.
What is it exactly you're trying to do then? His shoulders slid down in defeat.
I wish I knew. Honestly, Karina, I barely even know what day it is, so I'm confused too. Meeting someone was literally the last thing on my mind.
Is that what I am? Someone you met?
He shrugged. I don't know what it is either. But what I do know is that I drove around the block 4 times, telling myself not to come in here.
He looked at me.
But here I am.
For once, I was the silent one. Chapter 52. There are times when you don't need to say anything. Times when everything is easy and you can share a room or a moment without having to fill the space with words. When everything just falls into place. This wasn't one of them. You could cut the air with a knife. Kale must have felt it too.
I've been spending a lot of money on massages, he said, his first attempt at small talk.
Self-care, I said. We both laughed then, and relief poured through me. The way his laughter mixed with mine was like music. It was one of those moments I wished I could just bottle up and keep in a vial around my neck, the way Angelina Jolie had saved her lover's blood. Okay, now that was a weird thought. Why did my mind ricochet like that?
If it makes it any better, Kale said. I regret it.
Leaving last night? I clarified. He nodded, swinging his long, muscular legs over the side of the table. I was surprised they didn't touch the floor.
I wanted to be there with you, in that room, listening to you tell your stories. I love it when you tell stories. I could listen to you for hours, he said.
I turned the music up a notch to drown out our voices. The Hills was taunting both of us, raspy and suspenseful. The song fit perfectly between us, filling our silence. I love it when... Then why didn't you? I finally asked.
It was a friend thing.
Kale's expression changed. Friend? I asked, and it clicked. Oh, you have a...
Not that kind of friend, he said.
He wanted to reassure me, and that was thrilling. A line of electricity charged through me.
One of my buddies is having a rough time right now. His wife called and I had to go over there.
Kale's expression was stone. I was confused. He was opening up, but I needed more. So again, if you were going to help a friend, why couldn't you tell me? I would have understood if you told me. He cut me off.
Mendoza's business isn't mine to tell.
Mendoza? I moved across the room, stopping directly in front of Kale. He sighed. He bit down on his lip.
It's not my place, Karina. I'm not talking about it.
I appreciated his loyalty to his friend. Really, I did. But wasn't I his friend too? Wasn't I someone? Apparently not. And that's so far from the norm, you not talking about it. I meant for my words to burn him, or at least make him sweat. They did neither. He looked at me like he was taking a lie detector test, and I had just asked his name and if the sky was blue. Complacent. Assured, calm as fuck. Chapter 53. It wasn't even noon and I was ready for the day to be over. How dare he come here and complicate my life like this? All I wanted was a normal life. A nice job, a nice house, a nice guy. Other people had these things. Why not me? I took a breath and tried to soften a little, but I was careful not to melt. Not in front of him, not anymore. Are we done here? I asked. He shrugged his shoulders.
I still have 10 minutes left.
He held up his phone as if to prove it. Fine, but you need to act like a regular client. This is my job, and unlike you, I can get fired. Kale looked away from me and at the wall behind my head, focusing on the shelf where I kept my speaker and clean towels. Next to the towels, in a little wooden frame, was a picture of me, Austin and Sammy. It was homecoming of freshman year, and Sammy and Austin went together, their second try at being a couple. I went without a date. Sammy and I were all dolled up for the evening. Her dress was a shimmery red with a scoop back. Mine was purple, come to think of it. Purple ombre. The neckline was a pale color, almost mauve, but the color changed as the dress draped my body, moving from light to dark until the bottom looked like it had been dipped in ink. We got our dresses at JCPenney, but kept the tags on so that we could return them the next day.
Fine. Regular client, I get it, he said.
He was trying to crack my shell, but I wasn't having any of it.
He shrugged his shoulders and lay back down on his back. This time, I did what I usually did with new clients or walk-ins, and draped a soft towel over his eyes. I lowered the volume on the music and lifted his right arm. I bent it gently at the elbow, then pulled softly, and as I did, the thick muscles in his back shifted in response. I worked my way down his biceps. They weren't beefy in that artificial way, jacked up on supplements and daily visits to the gym. He was solid under my hands, and I knew it came from hard physical work. Army work. I used my forearm to apply pressure to the knot just under his bicep, where he had a scar that looked like an unfinished M. The pink-tinted skin was puffy and soft. It took everything in me not to run my finger over it. I tried not to think about the pain he must have felt when it happened, whatever it was that cut at his body. The scar was deep, like from the lashing of a serrated knife. It made my heart ache for him. I slid my fingers down his forearm, the part of his body that was the deepest in pigment. He had a soldier's tan, which was like a farmer's tan, but worse, because they were in the desert getting baked by the sun. I lifted his hand into mine and pressed my thumb against the base of his palm and held it there. I felt his fingers go slack, and I moved the pressure along the palm of his hand. Was it only the night before that we sat together, side by side on my childhood bed? I started to think about Mendoza, wondering if he was okay. He hadn't been gone very long when Kale got the phone call. It had to have been only 20 minutes before Kale left, and if he lived on base near my dad, he couldn't have been home for longer than 15. I hoped he didn't drive.
"That feels so good," Kale said to me when I bent his wrists, pressing against the sides, slightly pulling at the same time.
"I just learned it," I told him.
"Really?"
"Yeah. I saw a YouTube video and tried it on myself first. It felt so good, especially for people who use their hands a lot."
"Wait, you learned it on YouTube?"
he asked me, lifting his head a little. I pulled the towel back over his eyes and gently pressed my palm against his forehead to lay him back down. "Yes, it's helpful."
"You're such a millennial."
"So are you." I laid his arm back to his side and moved to the other side.
"Technically, yes. At least tell me you have an actual license and didn't learn everything on YouTube."
"Ha ha." I rolled my eyes back. "Of course I have a license." I remembered it was his birthday. "Happy birthday, by the way."
"Thanks."
I quietly slid back into the treatment and even gave him an extra 10 minutes. When we were finished, he thanked me, paid, tipped well, and mumbled a shallow goodbye like a good client. The fact that he had given me what I asked for and I hated it burned like bad coffee. Chapter 54. I was never so relieved to be done with customers for the day. Molly had asked me to take a walk in after that awful session with Kale. I don't know if it was the mood I was in or if it was the client, but nothing I did was good enough for her. The pressure was too light, then it was too heavy. The room was cold. Could she have 2 blankets? Then her feet were hot under the blankets. Could I take one away? And could I please blow out the candle because the fragrance was giving her a headache? I made every accommodation and even tried to reason with myself over her. She felt like a test from the universe whether Kale could ruin my day or not. Somehow everything linked back to him and my imagination started to take her on, creating her life where she's overworked or in a shitty marriage. Maybe I was the only person in her life that she could take her anger out on. Better me than her kids or family or even herself. I started feeling for her. Everyone has a bad day. Even when she said my nails needed to be clipped. And then she left without giving me a tip. I may have flipped her off as she walked out of the door. My 1 o'clock was okay, thank goodness. The walk-in after that was fine, too. A pretty young woman from the yoga studio the next block over. She fell asleep almost as soon as she lay down, and her skin was soft, no tense muscles to work out. Still, I was happy to call it a day and to be heading home. Thank God. Molly had given me some ibuprofen, and that helped turn down the volume in my throbbing head. But I still felt like complete crap. I was anxious and annoyed, and nothing was helping. All I could think of was flopping down in bed with the blinds drawn and the covers over my head. I wanted darkness and quiet. But then I rounded the corner to my little house and saw him waiting for me on the porch. My biggest problem and biggest relief wrapped up and delivered directly to my front door. Kale. He looked nervous, sitting there with headphones on, a faraway look in his eyes. He was so distracted he almost didn't see me approach. "Did you come for a refund?" I asked, trying to keep it light. I wasn't at all bothered that he was there. I wasn't nervous. No, I wasn't. Nope, not at all. I was cool. I hadn't let him get to me. Not the way he thought he did. Not me.
"No refund," he said, shaking his head. "I think we should finish our conversation."
"Oh, and which conversation is that?" I was playing it coy and he knew it. Cat and mouse, you know, how adults foreplay.
"About meeting someone. You know, whether or not we're dating or not."
"We're definitely not dating," I said through a forced fake laugh.
"Well, what are we doing then?"
"You didn't know either," I reminded him.
"Neither did you."
He flipped it back to me. Kale held an orange in his hand. It was a big orange, but small in his hand, with the little sun-kissed sticker still on it. He was massaging it gently with his thumb, but hadn't broken into the peel yet.
"I want to know more about you. That's all I'm asking, okay?"
With a face like his, I doubted he ever had to ask that question. Who wouldn't want to say yes without even thinking? I was the only idiot who would confuse things. How could I have such a strong attraction to this guy and still be so unsure of how I felt, of how he felt? I took him in. I couldn't help it, but I ran my eyes up and down his strong body. He was wearing a gray army t-shirt and black sweats. It was unfair how hot he looked in everything he wore. "How do you plan on doing that?" I asked. I seemed to be responding the way he had hoped. He was pleased with that, as if that was his plan all along. I liked that he had one. The idea of a plan made me feel important. He made me feel important.
"By asking you questions about yourself? How else?"
He was being so playful, so unlike the composed man I'd come to know over the last few days. "Okay." I was skeptical. "Go ahead." He gestured to the empty spot next to him.
"At least sit down with me. What kind of date is this?"
"It's not a date, we're just hanging out. Getting to know each other. That's it." That was meant more for myself than for him, but Kale didn't need to know that. I sat down at the top of the porch and let my legs dangle over the lower steps.
"You keep saying we don't know each other, so I'm going to get to know you if it's the last thing I do,"
he assured me. He was so confident, in his words, his smile. Even the way he leaned back on the concrete steps conveyed his confidence. I felt that familiar pull move from the bottom of my tummy down toward my legs. "Okay, okay, enough small talk. Ask something." I needed to be distracted from the way Kale's mouth made me ache as he licked his lips while peeling the skin off of the orange.
"I only brought one, but we can share," he said.
I loved this playful version of him. "Some date," I joked, and he shook his head.
"Nope. You said it wasn't a date."
"Touché. No questions or I'm ending this not date prematurely," I threatened. We both knew it was an empty threat. "Anyway, you're the one who doesn't tell me anything about himself."
"You go first then," he offered.
I thought about what I wanted to know about him. There was just so much. Music. That's what popped into my head first. I'd ask about music. "What's your favorite band that no one really knows?" He turned to me, his eyes wide, happy.
"So many. I love unknown bands. It's most of what I listen to. What about Muna? I just found them. They're great."
"Muna isn't unknown. They went on tour with Harry Styles." I told him how I loved their music, and how Elodie and I tried to get tickets to the concert, but they sold out so quickly, so I'd need to pick up a few more clients before I could afford resale tickets.
"Harry Styles, huh? If you could go to any concert ever, who would it be?"
he asked me. I nodded a solid yes to Harry Styles, and thought about what concert I would choose if I could see anyone. Alanis Morissette had always been my go-to answer, but with Kale, I chose what I actually thought of first. It felt freeing, to be honest in this way. I liked how he brought me out of myself. I didn't give him the answer I thought he wanted, I gave him the truth. "Shawn Mendes," I told him.
"Shawn Mendes,"
he repeated. I could practically hear the joke coming, so I tried to move the conversation along. "And you?" I asked.
"Me, well, I would probably say either Amy Winehouse before she..."
He paused. It was lovely, a mark of respect somehow. I smiled, urging him to continue.
"Or Kings of Leon on their first tour. Back when they were virtually unknown.
I'm going to make a list of unknown bands before our next hangout session or whatever we're calling this, I said.
Our next not a date, he said.
I think we were both relieved to hear the word next. Right, I said, feeling both relieved and excited.
So,
Kale said,
here's another question for you. If you could describe Austin in one word, what would it be?
I tapped my nose, thinking of just one word to describe my twin. Well intended, I finally answered. But I was unsure. It wasn't the word I was going for, not exactly.
That's two words,
he said. Actually, it's hyphenated, so that counts as one word. He liked that, I could tell. He has good intentions, I continued. He just makes bad choices to go along with them.
I get that,
he said. And I really felt that he did. My turn, I said. What about you? What about your little sister? His expression hardened for a moment, almost as if I imagined it. Then just as quickly, it went back to normal. He thought for a moment, considering not answering. I saw it on his face, but he came up with...
Powerhouse.
Powerhouse? I repeated. What a lovely way to be viewed by someone, especially by someone in your own family. He nodded.
Yeah, she's brilliant, and doesn't let anything stop her. Her high school, it's one of those fancy private schools where they only teach the things students are good at. Science is her thing. She tested high enough to get into the school back when she was 9, but my mom can't drive and wouldn't let her ride the city bus alone until she turned 14. Now she takes the bus alone, across town every morning and every afternoon.
Wow, was all I could manage. Of course, Kale's sister was a science prodigy. It was impressive and humorous to compare this teenaged prodigy riding a bus across town to get to her gifted school to my brother, who got himself in trouble even when he stayed home.
Next?
It was Kale's turn to change the subject. I asked a basic question. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Get massages,
he smiled at me.
And work on my house. I bought a duplex while I was deployed. Remember when you took me to the parking lot to get my keys? They were supposed to be there. Anyway, I bought this rundown duplex and I'm fixing up the empty side now. And slowly working on my side so I can rent it out, and then move into another one and repeat the cycle. Maybe spread out toward Atlanta when I can.
I bought my house for the same reason, I told him. He took a bite of the peeled orange. I could smell the sweetness from where I sat. My mouth watered.